Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, join us online worldwide via our podcast. We're glad you all could be with us as well. If you guys are looking for that motivation or inspiration to not only be able to kickstart your day, but also to keep you motivated as you're going from day to day, you're going to love our next guest. We're excited to welcome Rebecca Faye Smith-Galli to our broadcast today. Rebecca's new book is called Morning Fuel, Daily Inspirations to Stretch Your Mind Before Starting Your Day. We're going to talk to Rebecca not only about what it's been like for her to share these with all of you, but also how it's been able to help her as well. She's gone throughout life as well. I think the other great thing about this book is that she gives us some practical things that all of us can be able to think about when we're talking about our lives and also what's possible for us. If you guys are just now finding out about Morning Fuel, of course we'll let you know how to be able to get your own copy of it and stay connected with Rebecca. Rebecca, thank you again for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, look, the pleasure's definitely all mine. This is such an important book and a topic and an important time, I think, as well, Becky, for sure. So I want to talk about what it's been like for you personally. What has it been like for you to see the way that people have not only responded to the book, but also to your own personal message of resilience?
You know, it's been so encouraging. I think when you write a book like this, it's a long one, 366 entries, right? Mm-hmm. And the process of writing it was joyful. My lens of selecting the entries was it needs to inspire, encourage, or make you think. And so although I've been writing for quite a while, it was interesting to go back and kind of pluck the ones that did that, and that in and of itself gave me a lot of positivity just because it's like, yes, I mostly do write about that, so let's include this one. So it was great to gather those, and then, but when you put them out, there's this big pause where you're not sure, is it going to land? Is it going to be helpful? Is it going to be something that people respond to? And so far, the answer has been yes, and it's just brought me a lot of joy.
Well, you've been able to bring people joy, and I want to brag for a moment, Becky, and say I have an autographed copy, and I love the fact that you wrote in the book to stay fortified, because I think that's a great reminder for all of us, right, as we kind of think about life. Life can knock you around. You know, everyone knows what it's like to be able to go through challenges, but I think, you know, for us, the importance of staying fortified, those words that you write in your book, how have you been able to embody that for you as you kind of even think about your own challenges? How has staying fortified helped you, Becky?
Well, I think we get depleted. You know, I think life can be very depleting, especially if you're challenged regularly. And so it's almost like you gotta start at the beginning and get as much positive energy in there, because the day is going to be draining. I mean, there are some days that are just stellar. But in most cases, there are things that are going to deplete you. So it's always been a practice of mine to get up early. I love to watch the sun come up in the morning. I try to do lemon water first thing to do that, you know, hydrate and cleanse kind of thing. And then I have to lay into the coffee. And then I do, you know, quite a few readings. I have about 6 or 8 different books that I rotate through. And I've been reading these books, some of them 10, 12 years, just because those snippets just get my mind focused on something that's positive immediately, you know. And so it's, I think in every stage of life you have more or less time, you know. So that's why it's like it could be a morning fuel, it can be an evening fuel, a noonday fuel. I mean, we got a lot of kids, there's not much time. But anyway, it's a practice that I've sustained. And my first book was a memoir, which is kind of like the big picture of my life. And then this is one of the practices that I use to try to keep positive and keep moving through a life that can be challenging at times.
I want to reference something that you wrote in the book, and it goes to what you were just saying, Becky, and just to let our audience know. So basically what you're able to get is you're able to get a month, a day of the month, and then a message. On April 21st, it struck me as one that was important. The message was the courage to trust. And in that, you mentioned two things that I want to ask you about. One, you said this, courage does require vulnerability. I can see that. We put ourselves at risk when we walk into the arena of uncontrolled outcomes. And, of course, before that, you had talked about Brené Brown, who I think all of us are a fan of, and what she's been able to talk about that topic of vulnerability. How has that helped you to not only to understand the importance of courage, Becky, but also what that does in opening you up to others in doing so?
Well, that's a really good distinction there. So, courage is scary. You know, it's scary. And I think when you have somebody like a Brené Brown talking about the value of that, how so much creativity can come from that and is actually required. I mean, the courage to be creative is what it takes, you know, and there's a lot of fear there that you'll fail or that you'll be laughed at or that, you know, those kinds of things. But the ability to know that is an entity, you know, it's not just me, it's a thing, but you have to be vulnerable to create or to, to show courage. So that I really appreciate about how she labels it. And then for me, experiencing that, and it does make you accessible, you know, to others when you admit this hurts or this was hard. Hopefully they don't feel alone, because that's the whole point of sharing and connecting, is that people, whatever their struggles are, they don't feel alone, that somebody struggled too, and maybe they have something that they can share that would be helpful.
I think that is such a great point, and I think it's such a great reminder for all of us, for sure, the importance of not feeling alone and that we're not alone, right? I think that's the thing that we sometimes trick ourselves to think no one else will understand, and I think that's why a book like this is so important. I mentioned to you before we went live here that I think even though, as you just referenced yourself, that even though it's called Morning Field, this is something you can use to start your day, but also to reflect back on, which leads us to, interestingly enough, Becky, what today's message would be. So November the 11th is when you and I are having this conversation live for a radio audience, for a podcast audience, even if you all are catching it on a different day. I think you'll really appreciate this. Polishing memories is the topic of this. And I love the fact that you're able to allow us to do that, to think about that for ourselves. You say this, for me, that inspiration comes from memory. Sometimes we need to pluck a tiny memory and give it the old spit shine that my father used to talk about when he'd polish his wingtips until they glisten. Then to give it life, we need to share it. We need to tell that story in all its glory. We need to get out our little paintbrushes, add a little sparkle, and make that memory shine with love. Talk to us about that. I love this analogy because I think not only, of course, is that memory great for us, why is the sharing so important from what you've been able to discover?
I think it is a connective thing that connects you to the memory, even if the people aren't around anymore. You know, if it's a distant memory of a loved one that's no longer with you, it still connects you to that love that you had with that person, because we can really kind of choose what we want to remember. We can kind of major on the minors if we want to. So if we pluck only the best ones to have in our head, that'll take up the space in our head instead of something negative. And I really think that is this is a great time to do this going into the holidays. There's one, I don't know if you've read the one about the turkey disaster, but that one was a terrible turkey. There was a broken glass that wound up in my prized turkey. And I couldn't write about that for years, and I was really a little bit angry about it because it happened, you know, when I had this big party going on. But later on, when we looked at that memory, it's like family folklore. So it can either be a precious memory, like the one I share on November the 11th about us all having matching nail polishes unbeknownst to one another, or this terrible thing that happened that becomes folklore. You know, you can kind of just tweak a little bit and all of a sudden it's a terrible story that makes everybody laugh. Everybody's got some kind of turkey disaster.
And Becky, what you just said is so funny because it reminds me of something else about what I thought about as a reader in reading November the 11th message. And that is, it kind of goes to what you said earlier. People feel less alone. I think a lot of times people look at us sometimes and think, oh, well, they don't have that issue. Or they have things so well put together. They don't know what it's like to go through this, right, or to go through that. What I thought about as a reader when I was reading November the 11th was that kind of connects us even further. Like, oh, wow, you've had that happen too. You know, you've felt I thought I was the only one. I want to turn that around to you, though. What has that been like for you, to, as you've heard from other readers, either of your previous book or this one, to know that you're connecting with them in a way that maybe you didn't even expect? What has that connection been like for you to experience?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, when people will, I've got a couple of little highlight things, and then they'll snapshot it, and they'll put it in their story on Instagram, and I'll look at it, and I was like, wow, that's the part that jumped out to them instead of this part, you know, but, you know, it's like you throw it out, and you're not sure what it is. It's from the heart, and you hope it lands in the heart, and that it helps and flourishes as it's supposed to.
I want to ask you a question I don't know the answer to, even as I was prepping for this segment, so I'm curious, and I think our audience will as well. Did you always know, Becky, for you, that you were meant for greater, that in spite of challenges, in spite of life situations, did you always know that it's somehow inside that you were meant for something greater for yourself?
No. It's I feel like you know, I've just had so many things, you know, it's like my 17-year-old brother and then two special needs kids and this rare paralysis. And it's like I always felt like I was just doing the next thing, just trying to do the next right thing in whatever circumstance it was. And only looking back do you really kind of see how things were, you know, you did a pretty good job managing all that. But at the time, it just felt normal, like, well, I have to handle this. I mean, what else is there? It didn't seem to be an option to give up or to you know, I've had my days. And let me tell you what, I've been in that pit and on the edge of the pit a lot. And in a way, that's, again, one of the reasons I wrote this book is to prevent going in the pity pit, because it's right there. It tempts me a lot, but I try to avoid it. And one of the things is I try to figure out what fuels me, what fortifies me to avoid the self-pity. Although I will say I allow myself to go down there, but it's kind of a timeout thing. It's like, okay, you can feel, list all the stuff you feel sorry about, and life isn't fair, and it shouldn't have happened to you, and why all this? And I do allow it, but I try to set a mental timer on it. I was like, you know, that's, you cried 10 minutes, that's enough. You know, get on with it, girl. So I try to manage myself like that. Sometimes I'm manageable, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah. And I think, too, just being able to say that, right, I think is such a big deal. And being able to say, you know what, not every day is the best day, but it's really about what I feel like with this book, choosing to make the best of it. And I want to talk about that part, the choice, because I think that's something all of us, again, have in common, right? We all can choose what we want to focus on. We can focus on the challenge, the difficulty, the hardship, or we could focus on not only the lessons, but also the memories, as we were alluding to. What helps you with that choice, Becky, and what do you hope readers, especially of Morning Fuel, think about when it comes to that choice for themselves?
You know, the quote I have on the back of my business card is, life can be good no matter what. And then I like to say, and I've had a lot of what, right? But the key word in that is can, you know? It's not life is good. Life can be good. And we have to work at that. And I think that's the part that is not, it's not, you know, easy. Sometimes it's hard. But in my experience, the payoff is so worth it. It is. It's worth the work. It is worth putting in.
If it's okay with you, I would like to read something that I thought was very brave of you to share. Is that okay?
Okay.
On August the 9th, Precious Messages, you talk about a challenging time in your life. But you also shared a greeting card. And I want to read the majority of what you wrote for this day because I think our audience will really appreciate this because you talked about this being a very difficult time. And then you say this, a greeting card in my mailbox plucked at my tender heart. You are brave even when you don't feel like it. You are strong even when you don't realize it. I clutched the card and its precious message to my chest before I even opened it to see who had sent it. Deep sobs erupted, surprising me with their intensity as they called out the truth. I didn't feel brave. I didn't feel strong. I felt weak, weary, and so very tired of disappointing myself and maybe even others as I found myself saying no to invitations when I really wanted to say yes. I couldn't trust my body. I'd started new medications and stopped others, which meant I was on a roller coaster of adverse reactions and unintended bodily warfare that made my life unpredictable and limiting. I looked again at the sweet card, then took a deep breath, absorbed this powerful message, and renewed my commitment to pace myself and take extra time when I needed it. Staying brave, staying strong, I could do that. It would take a lot of extra effort and encouragement, but I would recover. I have to tell you, Becky, that was, to me, one of the most powerful messages I found in the book because I think we all, you know, we as individuals who are in places like having programs like this, being authors like you, you know, there's that saying about checking in on your strong friends. What was it like for you to know that someone was not only checking in on you but also reinforcing something inside yourself that you needed?
It was extraordinary. It was just extraordinary. I had just been come out of 17 days in the hospital with sepsis, and I was not progressing as fast as I wanted to. And I let in one of my Thoughtful Thursdays, I told my subscriber family, I call them, I'm hurting. You know, this is not going as planned, and I'm a big planner. And so I got so many cards. It was just amazing. And this one just, you know, I teared up just hearing you read that. And I still have it. You know, sometimes our humanity is just incredible. Our best is really extraordinary. And I'm grateful for communication and for people being willing to reach out when they hear somebody's hurting. And I don't ever want to forget that, the power of that, especially when I sense someone else is hurting. It's like, come on, Becky, you got to do your part too. You know, people supported you. You got to support them too. So but this, it was a very powerful day when I got that card. And it was kind of, if we, you know, it was from a person I really didn't expect to find something that deep and appropriate and, you know, just it was unexpected, but very, very much appreciated.
Well, the reason why I wanted to close with that passage is because that's how I think about Morning Fuel. For people out there who may not feel like they can go any further, who may feel as though they have failed themselves and failed others, I think your book really encapsulates that message that was sent to you and as a reminder to people as to who they can be and also who they are already. And I think that is the powerful thing about it. Now, that's me as a reader saying that, Becky. Now, what do you hope people who pick up Morning Fuel, what do you hope it does for them?
You know, I hope it can fortify them one way or another. You know, I think that's really my word for this book is that if it can be helpful in some way, those three things, if it can be inspiring or encouraging, or some of these are just to make you think, I hope it does, become a value part of their day or their life. It doesn't have to be daily. I think I really want to make sure people don't think they have to adopt a habit to read this book. You know, they can pick it up anytime they want. I hope it's well received. I really do. And your comments are extraordinary, Cyrus. Thank you so much.
Well, it's what I feel, and I think that's what people who pick up the book will definitely feel as well. So I invite you guys to get your copy of Morning Fuel, Daily Inspirations to Stretch Your Mind Before Starting Your Day, again, by our guest, Rebecca Faith Smith-Galli. We've been talking with her not only about the book, but also the messages, the meaning for herself, and now, of course, what she's sharing with all of you. It is available through our friends at Amazon.com, or you can get it through your favorite local bookstore if they don't have it. I know they'd be more than happy to order for you. It's published by one of my favorite publishers to work with, She Writes Press, so definitely make sure you guys check out their website for more great titles. And Rebecca, what about you? How can our audience stay connected with you?
I would love to hear from them. I'm at BeckyGalli.com, BeckyGalli.com. And they can join my Thoughtful Thursday email list if they like, and they keep in touch more regularly.
Okay. Well, Rebecca, definitely looking forward to our next chat together. It goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime.
Oh, thank you so much. I might just take you up on that.
Okay, I'll be looking forward to it. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all so much for choosing Conversations Live today. Let's go make today amazing. Take care.
Dear kids, thank you for all your holiday joy. Thank you for your curious eyes that keep us searching for creative hiding spots. Thank you for bringing us into your snowball fights. And thank you for reminding us that December is our favorite month, too. Find something that brings out the kid in you at the Lexus December to Remember sales event. Get offers on select vehicles now through January 2nd. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.